In Christ as your Savior doesn't give you an exemption from life's problems, but it does give you hope, which makes the problems less painful. Today, here on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah returns to the book of 1 Peter to shed more light on the difference hope makes in your daily Christian walk. From Hope and Anchor for Life, here's David to conclude his message, A Living Hope.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're in the midst of this series called Hope and Anchor for Life. And this radio series is based upon a book that we have written by the same title, Hope and Anchor for Life. The book just came out. It's available only from Turning Point. It's 200 pages, 10 chapters on the subject of hope based upon the Word of God. And it's yours for the asking when you send a gift during the month of January. That's the only way you can get this book. It's not available in any of the stores. You can't order it from any of the other book discount places, but you can get it from Turning Point. It's real simple. Just send a gift of any size during the month of January and ask for your copy. We want you to get this book, whether you can send a large gift or a small one, and we want to encourage you to do the best you can, because it's through your gift that we're able to continue to extend this ministry of hope around the world. Now, don't forget, during this particular time of the year, we're also in this process of recruiting members for our Bible Strong Partner Club, and these people are folks who agree to support us on a regular basis every month. And what we send back to you to affirm your commitment to us is pretty amazing. When you want to know more about it, go to our website and just click in on Bible Strong Partners and you'll get all the details. We'll make you a part of everything we do if you will help us. And helping us on a routine, regular basis is so important. It's the backbone of Turning Point. And we thank all of you who are a part of it and encourage you to be a part of it if you're not. Well, let's once again open our Bibles to 1 Peter and finish up our discussion of a living hope.
If all we ever have to say to one another in our hopelessness and disillusionment is terminal, temporal, earthly things, we are left without anything to hang on to. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. You see, that's the only kind of hope the world has to offer. It's hope that ends at the grave. But the kinds of problems that cause us despair and hopelessness are the kinds of problems that have a tendency not to end at the grave. The hurt of the mourning husband goes on after death. The pain of the daughter who loses her mother goes on after death. Where do we find hope for the kinds of problems that seem so prevalent in all of our lives? Peter says it's found in a person. It's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we pin our hope on Him. He's the only one who ever did what He did. He came out of death alive, victorious over the grave. And His promise is, if you put your trust in Me, as I live, you too shall live. That's why when I go to the funeral of my mother, whom I loved dearly and love to this day, I cry, but I don't become hysterical and don't have despair. I know where she is, and I know who she's with, and I know for a fact that one day, by the grace of God, I shall be with her again, and there is hope in the midst of all of the hurt. No matter how dark the situation in our lives might become, our hope is anchored in Jesus Christ and in His power over death. And Paul told the Corinthian believers that if that were not true, then we don't have any faith and we're still in our sin and we are hopeless. You see, this isn't just pie in the sky by and by. This isn't just a blue sky hope that we paint out into the future that if we just believe hard enough, things will get better. No, this is not hope so hope. This is no so hope. This is knowing a person who has done what no one else has ever done, and by virtue of having done that, has laid claim to our faith, and who says to us, listen now, if I came out of the grave victorious over death, and you put your trust in Me, you can have that same victory, not only over death, but in your life, day by day. How sure is our hope? Look down at your Bibles and notice what Peter says in verse 4. He says this hope is incorruptible, it's undefiled, doesn't fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. You know what, as I read that verse, all I could think about was that those four things kind of attack all of the earthly hopes in which people place their faith. What's wrong with putting your faith in human things? Have you ever noticed how disappointing placing your faith in human things can be? I must confess to you that over my life, I have caught myself getting my hopes wrapped up a lot in various professional athletic teams. But when I was a student at Dallas Seminary, I got caught up in the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, really caught up in them. I went to their Tuesday luncheons. I read every sports page about what was going on. I knew everything that was happening with every player. Lived and died with their games. I remember a time when they were playing a very important playoff game, and for some reason the stadium in Dallas wasn't sold out, so the game was blacked out in the city. Believe it or not, my wife and I drove to Oklahoma and checked into a motel so we could watch their game. I mean, that's how committed I was. She'll tell you that's the truth. And in the early days of our family, when our children were real small and I got my turn to cradle the children, Donna finally made me quit holding them during the football game because I almost threw a couple of touchdowns with a couple of my kids. I mean, it was like that. All wrapped up. And you know, I remember several years when I was just so wrapped up in them and followed them all the way through, and they got right to the precipice of the ultimate, and then they lost. And I would be depressed. And you know what really struck me as strange? When they finally won, it still left me empty. Oh, I was glad. But what now? And it's kind of a little parable in my own life of how easy it is for us to get ourselves all wrapped up in the things that can never really truly reward us for having placed our hope in them. You know, I'm not for a moment suggesting that we shouldn't put our hope in one another, and we shouldn't trust in one another, and that our bonding together in family shouldn't be strong. But there is a hope that's even beyond that and more important than that, and that is a hope that we place in the eternal God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And notice what He says. That hope won't die. That hope won't decay. That hope won't deteriorate. That hope cannot be destroyed. That hope is there for you in the person of Jesus Christ because He is eternal. If your hope is in Him, your hope is eternal. That's why, men and women, there's such a difference in the way Christian people respond to life if they're walking with God. That's why we can handle the challenges that come our way, and we may reel from the pressure, but down inside there is a quiet confidence that this too shall pass, and if it doesn't, it just gets better. Well, you say, Pastor Jeremiah, that's all well and good, and I'm glad about the future, and that's going to be wonderful someday when we see the Lord and our hope is realized in a personal fellowship and relationship with Him. But I have to face next week. I have to go back to that job that's terrorizing me, back into that home situation which has got me frantic, back into the realization of this disease which we can't get control of. How is my relationship with Jesus Christ and my hope about the future and eternity with Him going to make any difference in my life now? Well, just look at what Peter says in verse 5. He says, "We who have our hope in Christ are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now watch carefully. Here is the interplay in this chapter. Peter, first of all, says that God has given us a hope that is secure. It's steadfast. It's not ever going to be touched. It's beyond decay, destruction. It can't anything happen to it. And then in the very next verse, he says, "And oh, by the way, I am committed to keeping you on your way to the full realization of that hope." Here's the wonderful promise of the chapter. A hope that is secure for us in our personal relationship and eternal walk with God. And a day-by-day guarantee that in the process of our going to that ultimate realization of hope, He is going to keep us in the process. In fact, the word kept in the fifth verse, one of the strongest words in the New Testament, it means literally to be garrisoned about by an army. He says, here you are with your hope in Christ. You've fixed your eyes upon Him. You believe He came out of the grave. You've trusted Him. And you believe that someday you too are going to live for eternity because you put your trust in Him. But all the way along as you walk with Him, He's promised to keep you and help you every day. It's no wonder that many have written about the relationship between our eternal hope and our day-by-day relationship with problems and difficulties. C.S. Lewis once said it this way. He said, if you aim at heaven, you will get earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you will get neither one. And that is a powerful truth. What he's saying is this. If you don't get heaven straight, you won't get there. But in the process of not getting there, you won't have anything worth living for down here. Because it's only as you get your anchor fixed in eternity that you begin to have some stability for life every day. Oh, you're going to have the same kinds of problems. You're going to have the same bumps along the way. But there's a difference. In fact, even the problems begin to make sense. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, even in this you greatly rejoice. Now watch how honest Peter is. You greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, is tested by fire and may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I like the Bible because it's so honest. You know, Peter isn't giving us some PMA stuff, positive mental attitude. He's not saying just get your hope up and everything's going to be all right. He's not saying if you put your trust in Christ, your problems will all go away. He says, put your hope in the Lord and get ready for some challenges. There are going to be manifest trials in your life that will buffet you. But even in the process of the trials, God has a purpose. A Scottish theologian by the name of Samuel Rutherford explains the purpose of these problems we face in the midst of our life of hope. Listen carefully. The language may be old English, but the truth is very important. Here's what he said. If God had told me some time ago that He was about to make me as happy as I could be in this world, and then had told me that He should begin by crippling me in arm or limb or removing me from all my usual sources of enjoyment, I should have thought it a very strange mode of accomplishing His purpose. And yet, wrote Rutherford, how is His wisdom manifest even in this? For if you should see a man shut up in a dark room, idolizing a set of lamps and rejoicing in their light, and you wish to make him truly happy, you would begin by blowing out all of his lamps and then throw open the shutters to let in the light of heaven. Johnny Erickson read those words by Samuel Rutherford and added her postscript, and this is what she said. She said, that's exactly what God did for me when He sent a broken neck my way. He blew out the lamps in my life that lit up my here and now so captivatingly. And the dark despair of my paralysis wasn't much fun, but it sure made those resurrection promises come alive. And one day when Jesus comes back, probably when I'm in the middle of lying on my office sofa for the umpteenth time, God will throw open heaven's shutters. I have no doubt I'll be more ready for it then than I would have been if I were on my feet. Do you hear what she's saying? Even the problems we face along the way in life that challenge us, those kind of things, when they happen to a believer, only make that believer appreciate even more what it's going to be like when we know and see the Lord. As the lamps sometimes are put out, the glory of the wonderful light of our Savior becomes even more precious to us. Someone has said that we as believers don't get by without the hurts. But there's a vast difference in the way that we process these difficulties. We often have great heaviness in our lives. I've had that in my life and you have in yours. Having hope in Christ doesn't mean you just kind of sail on through life and never hit any bumps. If you have somebody tell you that, they're not living in the real world. I mean, they're probably on something. I don't know. Nobody gets through life without bumps. We all have heaviness. But here's the difference, and this is the best way I can say it. For a Christian, he has superficial sorrow and central gladness. For an unbeliever, he has superficial gladness and central sorrow. That is the truth. Let me say it again. For a believer, for a person who's put his hope in Christ, what he has is, he has central gladness. In the core of who he is, there's joy and gladness. And he has sometimes superficial sorrow. He's touched by all the things that all men are touched with. But for a person who doesn't know Christ, who doesn't have hope in God, he has central sorrow and superficial gladness. He will do anything to stoke the fires of his superficial gladness. So he runs from one thing to the other, trying to keep the outward exterior alive. For a moment to take away some of the pain. Someone has said a busy life is the anesthesia we use to deaden the pain of an empty life. But when he's alone with the realization of where he is, there is a central sadness. Jesus Christ wants to come and just reverse all of that for you. He wants to take that which is central to your life that is sad and put joy there. And he will do it through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite people in the world of music is Bill Gaither. And he and his wife, Gloria, have given us a great heritage in much of the modern hymnody that we enjoy. We used to get together with them on occasion when we lived in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They live in Alexandria. They're wonderful, warm-hearted people who love the Lord with all of their hearts. Bill Gaither tells that back in the early 60s, he and Gloria were going through some really difficult days. He had just come through a bout with mononucleosis. Gloria was kind of in a mild depression of sorts. They were ready to have a child, and she looked around at a world that, you know, remember what the 60s were like. If you think things are in turmoil now, the 60s were some pretty difficult days. I remember in Fort Wayne as a pastor of a church being told one night by the police that they were marching toward our building and we had to send everybody home. And I, as a kind of foolish, stayed there in the building when I heard that the march was coming our way. Those memories are still very much with me. The 60s were difficult days. And Gloria said she was filled with despair because here was this child coming into the world. And she thought, what kind of people are we to bring a child into this kind of a world? I've heard people say that in recent days in this fellowship. I feel badly, they've said, for children who are being born into this generation when I think of the things they're going to face. Well, she was just overcome with that. And she said one day she was in her little study and just all quiet and waiting before the Lord. And she said the Spirit of God began to move upon her heart. And it was this central message of hope in the risen Christ that he impressed upon her and began to help her understand that life always conquers death. If life is in Christ, and she said she began to realize this principle of life conquering death, not someday, but even now, that if our faith is in the living Christ, that faith in the living Christ is able to conquer the feelings of discouragement and depression that we may face with all of the challenges of everyday life. She said she was so overcome with that, she couldn't help but begin to express it, and of course, she expressed it in the lyrics of a song that has become very, very precious to all of us. It goes like this: because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because he lives. And the second verse of that little hymn she wrote, you will now understand. For she wrote these words, how sweet to hold our newborn baby. and feel the pride and the joy that He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance our child can face uncertain days because He lives. And that's the truth. She said after the song was written one day, Bill's father, who was a very interesting man, came to Alexandria to visit them and came into the office building where Gloria was and said, "Hey, get Bill and come out here. I got something to show you." Just a few days before that, they had resurfaced the entire parking lot at this music company. They'd come in with stone and laid down a bed of stone and then rolled it out hard. Then they'd come in with pea gravel and put it on top of the stone and rolled it out hard. And then they'd come in and poured hot molten asphalt on top and let it run all down in the stone. And then they'd rolled it and put another layer on and rolled it. And this had happened a few months before, and Bill had come now to visit them, and he said, "Come here, I want you to see something." And he took them out in the middle of the parking lot, out to where the parking lot had been completed, and he said, "Look at that." And sure enough, right up through the rock, right up through the pea gravel, right up through the molten asphalt that had been rolled over and over again, was a green shoot that had grown right up through it all. And it wasn't anything huge and substantial. In fact, Gloria said you could reach, a child could have reached down and plucked it right out of the parking lot, and it would have been easy to do. It didn't come up because it was strong or because it was sharp or because it had any special ability. It came up through that molten asphalt because it had one quality, and that is it was alive. And life always reigns over that where there is no life. And Jesus Christ is saying to all of us today, as we seek for the hope we need to have stable, positive, productive lives, Jesus Christ reaches out to all of us and He says, "Listen, I am the living God. I have overcome death, and I want to live within you and give you the hope that you need to face the challenges of your life." And I say to you today, if you've never put your hope in God, you need to make that decision, because that's where it begins. I can give you all kinds of psychological remedies for the hopelessness in your life, but if you do not know the risen Christ, then you cannot have ultimate hope in this life.
Well, that's actually true. There's a false hope that leaves you empty in the end, and there's the real hope that comes from God. His hope is the best because it's eternal. It's actually anchored in heaven. And when you know the hope that comes with Jesus Christ, it's amazing. This last week I had the privilege of encouraging one of the men of our church who had just lost his wife. And he seemed so full of joy, and I didn't understand it. And he told me that he was so thankful that his wife had not suffered, and so aware of the fact that she'd had 90 wonderful years on this earth, and that she was now in the presence of her Lord. And he said, "And I'll be with her before you know it." His eyes twinkled. He knows he's going to miss her. He told me, "I've tried to talk to her two or three times and then realized she wasn't there." But he said, "I know where she is." And Dr. Jeremiah, there's nothing like realizing that the hope we have in Jesus Christ is forever. I hope you know that. And if you haven't picked up during this series what that's all about, keep listening. There's a lot more coming downstream. Tomorrow we're going to talk about hope in the valley of trouble. And we have some more psalms on hope. We have messages on hope for the nation, for the church, for our families. And this month is dedicated to you and to encouraging you to put your hope in God. Thank you so much for being a part of this ministry. Don't forget, we have a magazine that we publish that's available to you every month. You can order it, having it sent to you through the mail, or you can simply ask to be included in the devotions from this magazine that are sent down to your mailbox and the internet every day. Every day you can get fresh bread from heaven. We'll send you a fresh devotional right out of the monthly devotional book, and it'll come right to your computer. Wherever you are, it'll catch up with you, and it'll be there to encourage you every morning. Just another way for us to encourage you and add value to your life. We'll see you right here tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Turning Point Today.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's current series, Hope and Anchor for Life, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where we offer two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point, with a copy of our monthly Turning Points magazine and with our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. When you do, ask for a copy of David's encouraging new book, Hope and Anchor for Life, yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible, now available in the New International Version, as well as standard and large print in the New King James Version, with thousands of notes and articles by Dr. Jeremiah. Get details when you contact us today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Hope and Anchor for Life, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.